There's an old expression that says, there's never enough time to do it right, but there's always enough time to do it over. Hello and welcome to this portion of Vocal Point. I'm Jerry Newcomb, and right now we're going to talk about healthcare reform and the attempts to replace Obamacare. Our guest for this segment is Genevieve Wood of the Heritage Foundation. Genevieve, it's so great to have you back on. Thanks so much for taking your time.
Jerry, it's always a pleasure. Thank you for having me.
Okay, now I'm going to timestamp this interview. We are talking right now on Monday afternoon, March 27th. And so we know that as of late last week, President Trump decided to not even have the House vote on the bill to replace Obamacare because there just wasn't enough support for it. And while people were disappointed, maybe at the long run, you know, it's not that bad of a thing because it's better to get it right than to, you know, have some sort of half-baked measure. But go ahead and wax eloquent on all these attempts to replace Obamacare.
Well, I think you're very right. I mean, this was a process. It started out as, I would say, a bad process with a bad bill, and that ends up being bad politics. And I think you kind of saw that phase play out here. Look, Republicans have been promising the American voters and the American people really since 2010, mm-hmm. Every election cycle since then, that one of their chief goals would be to repeal Obamacare. And the hurdle was always, well, we don't, you know, at first we have enough folks in the House of Representatives, but we don't have enough Republicans in the Senate. Then voters gave them the Senate. And then they said, well, now we don't have the president. You know, we need a president who will sign off on this because President Obama will just veto anything that we send to him. So in this last election cycle, voters rewarded Republicans with that majority in the House and the Senate, and they gave them a Republican president in Donald Trump. So now it's time to fulfill that promise. And unfortunately, the bill that was put forward by the Republican House leadership, led by Paul Ryan, was not a repeal of Obamacare. It repealed parts of the law, but the main guts of it, the infrastructure, the regulatory state that Obamacare had put on our healthcare system, was going to be left intact. And so while they were making some changes around the margins, and some of them were big margins, this was not the repeal that they had promised folks. Mm. So I think that's where they really got the wrong start. They did not fully repeal it. There were a lot of Republicans in Congress, those in the House Freedom Caucus, for example, who were very concerned about that aspect of it, because if you didn't repeal all the regulations, then all the people who had seen their premiums go up, they weren't going to see any relief. I mean, this bill, what it would have done had it gone into effect as it was passed in the House, it would have given states more control over their Medicaid dollars. It would have given new subsidies to people who were at the lower end of the economic spectrum and couldn't afford health care, and therefore would give them a subsidy to buy it. It expanded that area. But those who've seen their premiums go up and who saw the healthcare plans they liked and the doctors they liked taken away, they weren't going to see any relief from this deal. Mm-hmm. So I think, you know, what they needed to do is say, how do we make sure that we're passing legislation that's going to help everybody that's been harmed, not just one select group of folks?
You know, I think in some ways this almost gives people a reprieve to be able to go back to the drawing board and say, look, what are some non-negotiables here? I mean, for example, one thing that I hear conservatives constantly talk about is allow for interstate competition as far as insurance companies. So healthcare reform going forward should involve that. Obamacare clearly doesn't allow that because it's opposed to the free market.
Well, that's exactly right. I think the challenge that Republicans ran into is that they got into this idea that we've got to repeal and replace all of it at the same time. And that clearly wasn't going to work out, because you had to repeal the chunk of Obamacare before you could start doing the replacement measures like the one you just talked about. I mean, the way that the regulatory system is set up right now under Obamacare, you're not going to have competition between states. That wasn't going to be part of the deal. Now, I know that the president and Paul Ryan talked about, yeah, well, we were going to get to that in phase two and phase three. Look, everybody knows those kind of promises in Washington, never get fulfilled. Mm-hmm. And not because I don't think Paul Ryan didn't want it to happen, but it just doesn't, they don't have that kind of leverage. Yeah. They needed to be able to put everything in a bill so that people could say, here's, you know, we're all getting something out of this. You had to make it palpable to multiple parties here. And to do it in these individual chunks like they were talking about, wasn't going to work. I think what they should have done is you take a repeal bill, you repeal Obamacare, you go back to square one. Not that our healthcare system was perfect prior to Obamacare, but I would argue it's better than it is today. Mm-hmm. And then you make reforms starting from that point without having, like I said, this regulatory state hanging over you. And that's where you could have gotten into issues, taking down the barriers between states, ensuring there was a lot more choices for everyone involved, which is, I think, what a good conservative reform bill would look like.
Now, I understand that when President Obama was in office, that there were something like 60 different times where the House passed a bill to repeal Obamacare, 60 times, and of course he always vetoed it. Maybe I got that number wrong, but I mean, it just, there were definitely attempts many times.
That's right. That over 60 times, or at least 60 times, they held different repeal votes in the House. Those didn't always make it to the Senate, or the Senate didn't always pass them. So only one time did it actually go to the president's desk.
Oh,
that was the end of 2015. It was a reconciliation bill, which was the same measure they were supposed to use this time around to repeal Obamacare. All the House Republicans voted for it. All the Senate Republicans voted for it. It wasn't a perfect bill, but it was better than what we just saw being tried to be passed the other day, and would have set them up in a much better way to then fully go after every other part of Obamacare and start a replacement process. That was sent to President Obama's desk, and he did repeal it. And that's what most conservatives were simply asking the House to do again. Put forward legislation you've already passed. Put forward legislation that the Republicans in the Senate have already passed, because then you can say, look, you guys already voted for this before. Why would you not vote for it again? And I firmly believe that President Trump would have signed off on pretty much whatever health care legislation the Republicans sent to his desk. I don't think he was involved in the get-go from in drafting this legislation, or that the White House was. And I think, you know, whatever they sent over, he was willing to support. I think, frankly, he was not served well in that matter, because he wasn't sent, or the legislation that was put forward by the leadership was not a good legislation. You could say, well, you know, he should have been more interested in the process, and that may be true. But nonetheless, I think the folks who've been following this for, you know, 7+ years, they knew via the reconciliation bill they passed back in 2015 that they had a measure that had already worked. All they had to do was pass that again, send it to President Trump, and then they could have started working on a replacement measure.
You know, I'm curious as to why they didn't do that, especially in light of the criticism I would often hear of the bill, the one that went, that was withdrawn last Friday, is that this is kind of essentially Obamacare light. So why didn't they do what you said? Yeah, well, why didn't they?
It's a very good question, Jerry. It's a good question, and I think in some measures, because they got, as I said, they kind of got caught in this trap of, we've got to do everything in one bill. We've got to do the repeal. We've got to do as much of repeal and replace as we can do in one bill. The problem was, you couldn't do a lot of the good conservative reform measures until you fully repealed it, and they weren't prepared to fully repeal it and pack in some of these other things. They should have focused strictly on repeal and said, we're going to do this first, and then we're going to work on replacement, and had debates out in the open about what those looked like. I mean, let's remember, that was one of the big criticisms of Obamacare, was the way that it was rammed through. Everything was put into one piece of legislation, rammed it through, and as Nancy Pelosi, then the Speaker of the House, said, you know, now we got to pass it to see basically how it works, to see what's in it. Well, that is not the way you want to put, you know, you want to take one-fifth of the economy and say to folks, now we're just going to see how it all works out. The Republicans, I think, were guilty of in some ways, doing the same thing. Yeah. They were trying to put everything into one bill, and they should have broken it up into two different parts.
Okay, so is part of the concern that if they had just said, okay, we're going to repeal this, what happens to those who are now having insurance under Obamacare, but suddenly they'll be falling short?
Well, I don't know any repeal legislation that would not have contained a provision that said there will be a transition period for those who have obtained health care, or I wouldn't say health care, they've obtained insurance
right.
through Obamacare.
They'd be grandfathered in. I'm sorry. No, I'm sorry for interrupting, but they'd be grandfathered in, right? They would be...
And they would be given a transition period, right, whether it was a year or 2 years until replacement measures and new options were available for them to move on to. They would not just be thrown off the rolls. People would be able to keep those plans until there was a new option available. I don't know any repeal efforts that didn't include that kind of measure in it. So I know that was what, you know, Senator Schumer and the left and people who really don't want to see Obamacare repealed, I know they made those threats. But that was never going to be the case. And there's no reason that Republicans couldn't have made that clear to people. And look, again, the other thing that I think Republicans miss in this debate and the messaging is, folks, we're not saying that there was nothing wrong with our health care system before, but it was not completely broken. And there was no reason to break the full system mm-hmm. when it was working for a lot of people, as opposed to looking at reforms that would have helped the one part of the population that really was struggling with getting health care. So instead, Obama, they wanted to redo the whole thing when you didn't need to redo sure. the whole thing. And the only way we're going to be able to get back and really make their kind of reforms to do is to repeal Obamacare and start over.
And what about Medicaid and Medicare patients that are now under Obamacare? Is it the same basic idea that, again, don't throw anybody off the rolls, but, allow for whatever, but don't allow new people to sign up, during this time of repealing, that kind of thing?
Well, I mean, as it stands now, Medicaid expansion will continue. States will continue to sign people up. And look, the legislation that the Republicans put forward this past a couple of weeks ago, that the leadership put forward, like I said, it did include some good Medicaid reform in it. I would argue not enough, but it did have some good reforms in there for sure. But it also is going to add a new subsidy, which I would grant you is a new entitlement that was a part of their package. Now, look, we can all step back and say, well, maybe that's going to be necessary. Okay, but we're not going to go ahead and add that sort of thing, and maybe that's a compromise that conservatives have to make, but we're not going to make that compromise until others come along with the idea that you've actually got to repeal the regulatory aspect of Obamacare, which was the part that was driving all the premium costs up for those in the private market, people who were buying their insurance on their own, self-employed people, or maybe somebody who worked for a small business where they weren't able to offer insurance there, so they were buying their health care on the private market. Until you got rid of all those regulations that the Obamacare legislation imposed, all of those folks were going to continue to see their premiums go up. So unless we were willing to get rid of that, why on earth would conservatives say, well, yeah, but let's give new subsidies to other people?
Oh, yeah.
So that's where, again, I think they didn't really think this through. It was half-baked legislation. They should have started with something that had already been thought through, the reconciliation bill, and worked from there.
So where do conservatives go from here?
Well, I think, the good news is that because wasn't passed, opportunity for getting a true repeal bill through lives to fight another day. For those who say, well, Republicans are going to move on, I think, they may talk about that a little bit this week. And yes, there are other ideas like tax reform and infrastructure plans and other legislation they definitely would like to move to. But there's two things here. One, tax reform, any significant tax reform, is going to be much harder if you don't repeal Obamacare, because that's $1 trillion worth of taxes that you have in Obamacare. If you don't repeal it, it doesn't leave you a lot of other money and room to work with in terms of really implementing true tax reform. And number two, they have promised voters they were going to do it. So I don't think, one bite at the apple
right.
is enough. Sorry, guys, that this is a little harder than maybe you thought it was going to be. But you promised folks this is what you're going to do. And you mean you tried hard for 3 weeks, and since it didn't work, we're just not going to do it anymore? I don't think that's going to fly with voters, and I don't think most Republicans believe that it will. So they may be kind of, dusting themselves off a bit right now, but they're going to have to come back to it. And I think that's a good thing. I mean, most things that are good things aren't always the easiest to get to. This should be something that is worked very hard on, that the public gets to see the process happening. It's not a bill that's put together behind closed doors. And they need to have a true repeal effort and then work through reforms where everybody can see it. And the other thing, Jerry, is if you repeal Obamacare, Democrats are going to have to come to the table. Because if you repeal it, as you just talked about, they're going to claim that all these people are now without insurance or will be. Okay, well, how do we keep people engaged, or how do we offer them new plans? What are Democrats' ideas on that? I think you would make this a little bit more bipartisan if you did truly repeal it, because it would force people to come to the table.
Excellent. Genevieve Wood, thank you so much for your time. Heritage.org for more information. All the best to you. God bless.
Thank you.
Thank you now. Bye-bye.